Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Kuf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin the Gemara, let us just review a point that was made in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. There in the Mishnah, if you have it available, you will notice there are two squiggle underlined expressions. They are basically psukim from Vayikra, Perek Yud Zayin, Posuk Dalet. These two sections of Psukim are designed to define or help categorize what kind of Shechitas Chutz, what kind of slaughtering outside the Beis HaMikdash would not result in the penalty of Shechitas Chutz. One Posuk, one section, says, V'el Pesach Oyel Moed Lo Hevio. Another section says, Lifnei Mishkan Hashem. And as you can see in the Mishnah, the two phrases are used to exclude different things. On the top of Kuf Yud Dalid, in the inside margin, you will notice we have a little note, V'el Pesach Omoed Lo Hevio, Mimait, that comes to exclude Poras Chatos and Sor HaMishtaleach, the Poraduma and the goat that's sent out on Yom Kippur to the cliff. There's another pasuk, another phrase, Lahakriv Korban Lashem Lifnei Mishkan Hashem. That is Mimayit, a whole list of things, Rovea, Nirba, Mukse, Nevad, Mechir, Esnan, Kilayim, Trefu, Yotz, and Yotz, Doifen. We have also made a note on the outside margin by the little starred comment, Yesh Litzayin, it's worth noting, one should note, El Pesach, that expression, the El Pesach Moed, Mimayit, Meiser Chutz Davke, Dvorim, Sheme Olam Lohoyu Ruyin. That comes to exclude from the prohibition or violation of Shechitas Chutz items that were never fit to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. What about items that were fit at one point but became forbidden or became unfit or invalid later? So the next point, Beis, Lahakriv Korban Lashem, Lifnei Mishkan Hashem, Bo Lemayit, that comes to exclude Me'isur Chutz from the prohibition of sacrificing outside the Beis HaMikdash, Dvarim Shayu Ru'uyim Lavo, Avol Nidchu, things that were once fit to be brought but were rendered invalid. Turning to the Gemara. The Gemara that we are beginning is at the very bottom line of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Horoivea Vahanirba. These are animals that were participatory in bestiality. They're unfit to be brought as sacrifices. What happens if they're slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash? So they are not guilty. One is not guilty of Shechitas Chutz for slaughtering a sacrifice that had been participatory in bestiality based on the Pasuk of Lifnei Mishkan Hashem. The Gemara asks, bearing in mind that from that Pasuk of Lifnei Mishkan Hashem, we were memayate things, as we mentioned in our note, things that were once fit but became rendered unfit. So, the Gemara asks, regarding Rovea v'nirba, v'ho nami tepuk li mi pesach oel moed, why do I not exclude from the penalty of Shechitas Chutz Rovea nirba, instead of what the Mishnah said, l'fnei Mishkan Hashem, excluded from pesach oel moed? So the Gemara goes on to say that Bishlamo, at the top of Kuf Yud Dalet, Bishlamo Rovea v'nirba, I understand well why Rovea v'nirba is not excluded from El Pesach Moed, because they were something that once was fit and became invalid subsequently. Mishkachasleh, it can be found, namely a case where it was once fit and became rendered invalid. The Akdishinu Meikara, they were initially sanctified as kosher and acceptable sacrifices. Vahada Ravan, and then after they were sanctified, they were used in bestiality. As a result of that, in order to exclude Rovan Nirba from the prohibition of Shritas Chutz, I have to use the phrase that corresponds to that situation, namely of once being valid and subsequently rendered invalid. And that's accomplished by the expression of Lifnei Mishkan Hashem. However, Ela, Muktzeh v'Ne'avad, these these type of animals that were cited in the Mishnah, Muktzeh and Ne'avad. Muktzeh is an animal that was set aside or dedicated to be offered as a sacrifice to an idol. Ne'avad is an animal that was actually worshipped as an idol. These things are unfit to be sacrifices. The Mishnah, in fact, excluded them from the violation of Shechitas Chutz through the phrase Lifnei Mishkan Hashem. Why did it use that posuk? The case of Muktzeh Nevad should have been excluded from the other phrase, namely El Pesach Oyel Moed. And the reason for that is that Muktzeh Nevad would be examples of things that were never fit to be sacrifices. And we will explain. If he had worshipped them as animals of his own, they were rendered unfit right at the starting gate. If, however, he had dedicated them as korbanos, he sanctified them, he was makdish these kosher animals, legitimate animals, and then subsequently attempted to worship it, his worshipping of it, or his setting it aside subsequently as a sacrifice to an idol would not have taken hold because of the following rule. The Gemara says, "Ein odom oiser davar she'eino shelo." That once he sanctified it, once he dedicated it to the Beis Hamikdash, it's not considered his anymore, and as such, it would be tantamount to someone bowing down to his friend's, to his neighbor's animal, which of course would have no effect. Likewise, if he had sanctified it initially as a sacrifice, as a korban, it wouldn't have become osir. So either way you look at it, either it was the case of Muktzeh Nevad was something that was never fit to be a sacrifice, and as such, the appropriate pasuk would have been El Pesach Ol Moed, but yet the Mishnah did not cite that as the exclusion of Muktzeh Nevad. On the other hand, if he had initially sanctified it as a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, then his subsequent idolatry would have had no effect on it. So the Gemara answers the case involving Muktzeh Nevad, where it initially was a valid Beis HaMikdash sacrifice and subsequently became forbidden, and hence needing the pasuk Lifnei Mishkan Hashem, which the Mishnah cites. That's in the following case. Bekodshim Kalim Valibud Rabbi Yosi Aglili. The Mishnah is talking about light level sanctity sacrifices according to the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Diomar Kodshim Kalim Momun Bailim Hu. Light level sanctity korbanos are considered owned. Therefore, there is a situation where he can asur it, he can prohibit it as a sacrifice after it had initially been acceptable as a sacrifice. And therefore, I need the posuk that the Mishnah cites of Lahakriv Lifnei Mishkan Hashem in order to exclude a case of Kodshim Kalim that were subsequently worshipped and then slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash. And now the Gemara gives the source for Rabbi Yosi Haglili's position. Desanya, you have the following Tanaic source. It appears in a frame, as do all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system. Umoalo Moav Hashem. That's the Pasuk. L'rabois kotshim kalim shehein momoinoi divrei Rabbi Yosi Haglili. Through this pasuk, without getting into the details, this is a topic that's discussed in other masechtos, but for our purposes, let it suffice that from this limud, Rabbi Yossi Aglili sees that kochim kalim are considered mamon bailim. Hilkach, therefore, roveya v'nirva, devar erva. And as a result of that, since devar erva means it's matters of immorality, the prohibition that exists or arises as a result of immorality takes hold of things that were already sanctified, and therefore to exclude it from Shechitas Chutz, I will have to use the pasuk of Lifnei Mishkan Hashem. Esnan u'mechir kilayim yoytze doifen. These examples, which were also excluded in the Mishnah, using the pasuk of Lifnei Mishkan Hashem. These are, the esnan is a gift given to a harlot for her services. Mechir is an animal that was exchanged for a dog. And as a result of taking an animal and exchanging it for a dog, you render it unfit to be a sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash. Kilayim is a crossbred animal. And Yotze Doifen is an animal born through cesarean section. How is it that they were once valid as sacrifices and subsequently rendered invalid, hence necessitating the posuk of Lifnei Mishkan Hashem, which the Mishnah cites? Bevlodois kochim. These are cases where they are the offspring of animals. Kosovar, and our Mishnahs have the opinion, vlodei kochim b'hav yosan hein kedoshim. The offspring of sacrifices themselves achieve sanctity upon their birth. Beforehand, when they were still inside the animals, the mother animal, they were fit to be brought as sacrifices. And therefore, since they were once in the realm, in the sacrificial realm, as embryos, upon being born, after they were born, he then rendered them invalid through either paying a harlot with these things, with these vlodei kochim, or using it in exchange for a dog, or whatever. These cases will need the pasuk of Lifnei Mishkan Hashem, because before they were born, they were part of their mothers, who were dedicated as sacrifices, and as such, these embryos were of sacrificial quality. And only later on, after they were born, did he do these things to it, which renders them unfit. So, as a result of them having once been acceptable, and only subsequently rendered unfit, you need the pasuk of Lifnei Mishkan Hashem. And the other phrase of El Pesach Moed would not be sufficient to exclude these. Let's glance at the Rashi. That's a few lines down from here. Nira li'idochi garsinon, esnan u'mechir kelam v'yitzidofim bevlodos kochim, klomar, hanoch da'atzrachnu lim'utinu milahakriv korbon. These examples that we needed, the phrase of lahakriv korbon, which the hemshich, the continuation of that was lahakriv korban lashem lifnei mishkan hashem, the pasuk that we've been referring to up till now as lifnei mishkan hashem. Velo nafki mi el pesach, and these would not be excluded from the el pesach pasuk. Al kochach, it has to be b'sheniru kvar mairi, they were once fit. Lo mishkachas, you won't find a case where these were once fit as sacrifices. El bevlodos kochim, they were embryos. Ve'ira lohu psul b'mei imon, then the invalid element arose when they were still in their mother's womb. Dinira lovo pesach moed kodim shnasu esnan u'mechir, they were fit as sacrifices before they were used as payment for the harlot or exchange for a dog. Imbola hakriv es imon hoyu hein boyin el pesach. If you wanted to offer the mother as a sacrifice before using these things as an esan or mechir, they were fit. Di'i bakdashinu lo mishkachas lo, because if he had first sanctified an animal and then used the already sanctified animal as the esnan, then these it wouldn't have taken hold. The esnan mechir chal al hamukdashim lefi she'enon shelo. The prohibition of esnan and mechir would not have taken hold of something that was already sanctified. If they were first made into an esnan and then he subsequently tried to sanctify it, mel pesach nafka, that would have been excluded from shrutei chutz, from the el pesach phrase. Likewise, these things, their psul came about before they were sanctified. The e akdashinu mishenoldu, if he had sanctified them after they were born already, then me'el pesach nafke, they would have been excluded from the el pesach phrase. Ela bevlogos kotshim demeikora im imon nira lovo. They were the offspring, they were the embryos of animals that were legitimate sacrifices, and together with their mother, they would have been able to be brought. So if you take a case of the kilayim, a crossbreed animal, if you have a pregnant sheep, the sheep had mated with a goat, let's say, so the embryo, in and of as an embryo, before it's born, it would have been fit to be brought as a sacrifice. Once it's born, it now is a kilayim, and it achieves its sanctity, as the Gemara said, only the havyosan and kedoshim upon their birth. But prior to their birth, they were legitimate; they were acceptable as sacrifices, as being part of their mother. So that in the case of these cases, esnan mechir kilayim yotze doifen, they were bevlodos kotshim. We're talking about, they were still embryos, and while they were still embryos, after the mother had been sanctified, after that, after they had been formed as embryos, then a psul developed. And that's what renders them excluded from the realm of Shechitas Chutz. We might want to add that, for the sake of accuracy, to emphasize that which we've dashed underlined in the Rashi, is the expression v'ira lehu psul b'mei imon. The psul developed while they were still embryos. So in the case of the esnan or mechir, it would seem to be that the mother was pregnant. The mother, which was a legitimate sacrifice, was pregnant with this embryo, and then someone offered a harlot the embryo as a payment for her services, or he offered the embryo as an exchange for a dog. And at that point, the esnan or mechir problem sets upon it, because the embryo itself is not considered a korban in and of itself until it's actually born. Continuing in the Gemara. Baalei mumin v'chulei oisoi v'espanoi. In our Mishnah, we saw three machloikesim between Reb Shimon and Rabbanan. The common thread being mechuser zman, something of a premature nature. On the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading. Tzrichusa legimul machloikes chachom Reb Shimon b'mishnah, the necessity of having three examples of controversy between Reb Chaim and Reb Shimon in the Mishnah be'inyan shechitas chutz b'mechuser zman, regarding the sacrificing something outside the Beis HaMikdash prematurely. One example we saw was b'bal mum oiver, with a transitory blemish. If, let us say, there was an animal sanctified as a korban and it had a transitory blemish, so what is the nature of the problem of the prohibition of shechting such a thing, which it will eventually, when the blemish leaves, will eventually become a legitimate, or restored to a legitimate sacrificial state? Right now it has a transitory mum. So we saw in the Mishnah that according to the Tanakhama, one is totally exempt for that. And according to Reb Shimon, there is a negative violation, even though it doesn't carry with it the kores penalty, which is characteristic of the standard shrutei chutz. Then we had another example of turin, which are birds, that are bird sacrifices, that have not matured enough till the point that they're acceptable what happens if one dedicated such a bird as a sacrifice and then did shechita to it outside the Beis HaMikdash. So that's another example of birds, the turin shelo igiyaz mana, that their time hasn't arrived. Or oisei vespinoi, the case where the mother of an animal was sacrificed on a given day, the offspring should not be sacrificed the same day. It's not valid that day, but tomorrow it will be valid as a korban. So let us say he shechted it outside the Beis HaMikdash, the offspring of a mother that had already been slaughtered. So the Chachamim will say he's totally exempt, and Reb Shimon says he's oiver b'lo yisaseh. The question the Gemara is dealing with, what do I need all three examples for? Utsrichi. De'i tana ba'alei mumin. Had we taught the Machlokes Reb Shimon and the Chachamim regarding the transitory blemish, we could have said that the reason the Chachamim exempt for the slaughtering outside the Beis HaMikdash is Mishum Demi'isi, because they're abominable. Avolturin, birds that are a bit young, they haven't achieved necessary maturity for sacrificial purposes, delo miisi, where they are not mos, they're not abominable, they're simply premature, but it's not abominable. Emo demoidu le l'Reb Shimon. I would think, if I had not been taught the position of the Chachamim, I would have thought they would concede to Rabbi Shimon that there is a lav, that there is a negative violation involved, since it's something that's fit afterwards. There would be a loisaseh. The e tana turin, had I taught the controversy surrounding the birds alone, the birds that had not yet achieved maturity, mishum delo chazi v'idchu. Here, Rabbi Shimon would mechayev avol. This is a case of they were, let's go over that point again. Mishum delo, they were never chazi v'idchu. They were never fit in the first place and then pushed away. So being that they were not ever fit in the first place, therefore, Reb Shimon would say that there is a lav. However, avobale mumin de ichsu v'idchu. The baal mum is an example of an animal that was originally a legitimate sacrifice. It simply developed a transitory mum, which pushes it away. That's once again ichsu. It was fit, and then ichsu, then pushed away, then rendered invalid. That, I would have thought, a case where it's pushed away, emo de moda lehu Rabbi Shimon the Rabbanon, that Rabbi Shimon would concede to the Rabbanon that there's total exemption, because at the point that the moon developed, it's cast out of the sacrificial realm. And as such, I might have thought that Reb Shimon would see the lenient position of Rabbanan, and hence classified as totally exempt from Shechitas Chutz. The E Tana Hani Tarti. Notice with the markings, we're keeping track of each stage with the squiggle underline E Tana. Had I taught this or had I taught that? And now we're at the third stage, the E Tana Hani Tarti. Had I taught the Machlokes Reb Shimon and the Rabbanan regarding Baal Mum and the Turin, the transitory blemish case and the premature birds, Mishum de Psula de Gufayu. There, the problem with these examples is an inherent bodily problem, either the blemish that's in the body of the animal or the premature age of the bird. Aval oisoi v'espinoi, but the case of oisoi v'espinoi, where you sacrificed the mother, let us say, and the offspring itself, its only problem is an external problem, the problem being that the mother had been slaughtered. But it's not a psul haguf, it's not inherent in the body of the offspring. This kind of psul, the Gemara calls de psula me almukasi laws, it's an external psul. Emo modu le rabbon Reb Shimon. I would have thought, had I not been taught otherwise in the Mishnah, that the Rabbanan would concede to Reb Shimon that there is a lav. Being that it's an external deficiency, it's therefore not as serious a threat to its sacrificial status, giving it a sense of greater seriousness. And therefore, I would have thought that the Rabbanu would concede to Rabbi Shimon that there is a negative prohibition involved. Sricho, therefore, I need to be taught that case as well. In other words, the Machloikis Rabbi Shimon Rabbanon, to emphasize the Rabbanon's position of total exemption, even though it's a psul me'alma. The Shitas Rabbi Shimon is that one who slaughters a mechusar zman b'chutz is oiver b'loy sa'aseh. The Gemara at this point, if you notice in the outside margin of the Nosei Mivneh, we have diamonds featured. Mekurus l'shitas Rabbi Shimon. Sources for Rabbi Shimon's position, da asherchit mechusar zman b'chutz, oiver b'loy sa'aseh. That one who slaughters something who's lacking the appropriateness in terms of time, a sacrifice that's problem is time deficiency. According to Reb Shimon, if that's sacrificed outside the Beis HaMikdash, there is a violation of a Lo Yisaseh. My taimo, the Dibur Maschu of the Beginning of Line Shahoy Reb Shimon Omer, and we explained already Shitas Reb Shimon of Shchitas Chutz of a Mechusar Zman is Oiver B'lo Yisaseh. My time of the Reb Shimon, the Gemara asks, what is the reason for Reb Shimon? What's the basis of his opinion? So we see a number one with a diamond around it to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, and if you skim down the right hand side of the Gemara text, you won't see any further numbers here, but if there's a one, there's got to be a two, and you'll find it on Amud Beis. So if you scroll ahead to Kuf Yud Dal Amud Beis, four lines from the top, you will see a number two where Rabba's name appears. So in the meantime, we have Reish Lakish. Omar Rabbi Eloi, Omar Reish Lakish, the Omar Kra. The Pasuk says, Loi Sa'asun Kechol Asher Anachnu Oisim Poi Hayoim. This is a Pasuk that addresses the Jews in the desert. And it's saying that they shall not do as they are doing now in the desert. Upon leaving Egypt, the Jews traveled through the desert for 40 years. And the Gemara now explains, Omar Lahu Moshe Yisrael. Moshe addresses the Jews and says, Ki Ailisu La'oretz. When you enter the land, there will be a 14-year period of conquest and division. Yashrus Takrivu. Choivois loy takrivu. Yashrus are voluntary offerings. Nidorim and Nidavos. Those you will sacrifice at the public altar. However, choivois, obligatory sacrifices, you will not sacrifice at all, even on the central altar in Gilgal. Gilgal was the name of the place that they that the Mishkan rested for during the 14 years of conquest and division of the land. After their stay in Gilgal, the Mishkan was set up in Shiloh for a period of 369 years. So the Gemara goes on to say, the Gilgal legabi Shiloh, the way one would view Gilgal relative to Shiloh, mechusar zmanhu. Gilgal represents a time of prematurity, if you will, or earliness. What do we mean by that? Let us say someone had been chayav a korban chatas. He had eaten, let us say, forbidden fats of an animal or eaten blood of an animal. That requires, and he did it inadvertently, requires him to set aside a sin offering. The sin offering is an obligatory sacrifice. However, it's something that could not be brought at Gilgal. So the Gemara is saying that Gilgal, legabi Shiloh, Gilgal relative to Shiloh. Shiloh was as we mentioned before, the site of the Beis HaMikdash for 369 years, where obligatory korbanos would be able to be brought. So time-wise, Gilgal is premature with regard to obligatory offerings with respect to Shiloh. So the Gemara points out, the Gilgal Agabi Shiloh Mechusar Zmanhu, the Ka'omalu Moshe, and Moshe, in describing Gilgal, he says, Loi Sa'asun. Lo Sa'asun, do not offer. do not offer at Gilgal the obligatory sacrifices. So, that being the case, we see that the idea of a phenomenon of mechusar zman imposes a negative command on the sacrifice of such an animal. So let's go over this point again. Let us say someone had been chayav a korban chatas. So he'd have to wait. He should bring it 14 years after the entrance to the land at Shiloh. Let's say he brought it at Gilgal. Well, he wasn't supposed to. But his bringing it at Gilgal essentially is a premature, it's a mechusar zman case of a sacrifice being offered where it should not be offered, namely chutz, outside of its proper place. We see from here, from the fact that the pasuk uses the negative term loisasun, do not do, so that thereby imposes a lav, a negative command, on the sacrifice bachutz of a mechusar zman. And that's exactly what Reb Shimon said in the Mishnah. Amar Reb Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zeira, I hachi, if that be the case, that Gilgal is called mechusar zman, milka nami lilki, there should also be malkos, lashings. Aloma Amar Rabbi Zeira, hakosuv niskoi lasei. So why is it that Rabbi Zeira says in Maseches Chulin that the slaughtering of sacrifices at Gilgal, let us say korban choiva, an obligatory sacrifice at Gilgal, he is in violation of a positive command alone, without malkos, no lashings. But if you're saying that Gilgal represents a lav of mechusar zman, there should have been malkos, as is characteristic of all negative commands, violations of negative commands. The Gemara answers, Hani mili l'rabbanon. That which Rabbi Zeira said, that the pasuk removes this the pasuk removes it to the realm of Asay, that's according to the Rabbanon. However, the Rabbi Shimon, hachi nami, according to Rabbi Shimon, who's the Tana that we're focusing on right now, in fact, there would be malkos. Number two, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar. Let's, before we go on in the Gemara, point out what Rav Nachman is going to do in this Gemara. He's going to say that which Rabbi Zeira says in Maseches Chulin, that there's no malchus for the lav of mechusar zman, this comment of his applies to Rabbi Shimon as well. But you'll ask, but Rabbi Shimon says that there's a loisase for Shchitas Chutz b'mechusar zman. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Omar, Pnim de Gilgal, the sacrificing of, let us say, a korban, a choiva, an obligatory korban in the Mishkan, inside of the Mishkan of Gilgal, Legabi Shiloi, relative to Shiloh, is Kechutz Domi. And regarding Shchitas Chutz, there is a lav, of an iser boma, but on a standard mechusar zman bifnim, a standard case of slaughtering a sacrifice that's lacking time, that's not ready yet to be offered, in hochinami there would be no malkos. So let's go over this point again. The basic lav of mechusar zman that is associated with korbanos, Rabbi Zeira says there is no malkus for shechting a korban b'mechusar zman. However, the case of mechusar zman that's shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash, there is malkus based on the pasuk of lo sa'asun. And the example of Gilgal and Shiloh is representative of that. That shechting a korban inside of Shiloh, inside of Gilgal, inside the Mishkan of Gilgal, is not the equivalent of sacrificing a mechusar zman inside of the Beis Hamikdash, because Gilgal relative to Shiloh is considered as if you're shechting it outside the Beis Hamikdash or outside of the Mishkan entirely. As you can see, we have a diamond, Rabba, and this is number 2, a second source for Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that Shitas Chutz of a Mechusar Zman is Oiver Balav. Rabba Omar, Taimid Rabbi Shimon, Kilesanya. The reason behind Rabbi Shimon is based on the following Tanaic source. We should also take note of the fact that Rabba is a long comment, and that's indicated by the long marker, the number 2 with a vertical dashed line that follows, indicating that all of the lines opposite this marking form Rabba's opinion. So we see in the following braisa a discussion concerning a korban Pesach. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, minayin lezoveach Pesach bebomas yochid bishas iser habomois shehu beloy saseh. From where do we know that a person who slaughters a korban Pesach at a private altar during the time historically that there was a boma prohibition, that there is a negative command, there's a loy saseh. In the back of our minds, it's interesting to note it's a negative command, but there's no kores. It doesn't say that he's chayav the kores penalty. So, from where do we know that there's a loy saseh for shechting a korban Pesach at a private altar during the time of in history when there was an Isser Bomos? Talmud Loimar, loy sulchal lizboyach es haPesach. That's the pasuk, and we've emphasized with a diagonal dashed underline, lo suchal, this is a negative command. It's a lav. Yochol af bishas heter bomos kain. Would this prohibition be in place during the time that private altars were allowed? Talmud lomar ba'achad shorecha. The pasuk goes on to say, ba'achad shorecha, lo yomarti loch, I did not tell you this prohibition of lo suchal is b'asa Pesach, elo b'sho shekol Yisrael nichnosim b'shar echad. Only at a time in history when all the Jews were obligated to come to one central location. Hence, that is true in the case of Shas Iser Bomos, when everyone was expected to come to the central Beis HaMikdash, and not at the time of Heter HaBomos. The Gemara now analyzes this case. Amos, what time of day are we talking about with regard to the Shchitas Pesach B'Bomas Yochid? Inemo Achar Chatzois, if it's after midday. The afternoon of the 14th of Nisan is the time designed for the bringing of the Korban Pesach. So if a person took a Korban Pesach and shechted it at a private altar after Chatzos Hayom, Koreis Nami Mechayev, he should be Chayev the Koreis penalty as being in violation of the standard prohibition of Shchitas Chutz. Elo Lav Koidem Chatzos. It must be, why is there no Koreis? Because he's shechting it early in the day, before midday. That's called Mechusar Zman. And we see the Pasuk says Lo Suchal, indicating that there is a Lav. This would be the source for Rabbi Shimon, that Mechusar Zman Bachutz, as we see here in the case of the private altar, is a negative command. At this point, the Gemara concludes the Rabba presentation. The Gemara now rejects Loi. That's not the case. We're talking about a shechting of the Korban Pesach after midday. So there's no issue of Mechusar Zman. Hence, this source is not a reflection of our topic. Ubishas heter habamos koi. And we're talking about a time in history that there was permission to use private altars for voluntary korbanos, but not for obligatory korbanos like the Korban Pesach. And for obligatory korbanos, there in fact would be a negative command. But by the fact that we're talking about Bishas Heter Abomos, we understand why there is no kores, but there is a negative command. The Gemara asks, how can you give me this answer that it's b'shas heter abamos v'ho b'shas iser abamos ko'omar, using the arrow that we have to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text? If you skim back above, you'll see a parallel arrow pointing to the line in which this phrase appeared. So the source is talking about the time in history where bamos were prohibited. So how can you tell me that the reason there's no kores over here is because it was b'shas heter abamos? The Gemara answers, the term in the Braisa that says Isser Abamos was a relative term. Isser Bama Loi, prohibited for the Korban Pesach. However, Heter Bama Lechavero, but it was a time that private altars were allowed for other kinds of Korbanos, voluntary type Korbanos, for Nedavos. So, for our purposes, though, the Gemara is rejecting Rabbah's citation, citing the Braisa on the grounds that the source was talking about Shechitas Pesach Achar Chatzos. And Achar Chatzos is not an example of Mechusar Zman, and hence, this does not serve as a source for Rabbi Shimon, who was featured in our Mishnah dealing with the case of Mechusar Zman, lacking or something premature. Mechusar Zman, we saw in the Mishnah Bebailov, Hazav, Azova, Vayoledes, and the Mishnah made reference to their offering the Sheikrivu Chatosav Hashomam Bachutz Potter Pturin. So if you have these kind of people with their tuma upon them, Zav and Zova, two types of bodily emissions, and the Yoledes, the woman who gave birth, that are people that are obligated to bring karbonas, the Mishnah mentions that if they offer their sin offering or their osham sacrifice outside, they are exempt, being that they are not ready yet to bring their korban. The Gemara asks, Vahani b'nei ashamos ninu? The Mishnah makes reference to their bringing an osham, but they don't have an osham obligation in the first place. Omazi'iri, tani mitzora bahadayu. State an example, add an example to the Mishnah, the example of the Mitzora. In addition to the Zav Zova Yoledes, if you add into the Mishnah Mitzora, a Mitzora is someone who is Chayav a Korban Osham. Oiloisehen Ushlamehen. The Mishnah made reference to the Zav Zova Yoledes and Mitzora as being obligated in Ola or Shlomim, and if they're not ready to bring, if they would sacrifice their Ola or Shlomim, so the Mishnah mentions that in that case, there would be a penalty because the Ola and Shlomim could be brought alternatively as a voluntary offering. Therefore, it carries with it a penalty of chutz. However, our emphasis right now is on the association of the Tomei people in the Mishnah, Zav, Zava, etc., with the bringing of Olos and Shlomim. So the Gemara asks, Vahani b'nei Shlomim ninhu? You notice with our markings that we dashed, underlined the word Vishalmehen, just the line above, Vishalmehen, because we're focusing on that particular sacrifice. In fact, the Tomei people we mentioned do bring a Korban Ola, but we don't never heard of them bringing a Korban Shlomim. So what is meant by their Shlomim in the Mishnah? Omrav Sheshes, Tani Nozir. Stick into the Mishnah another example of a person who's obligated to bring a Korban at the completion of a certain period of time, namely the Nozir. And a Nozir is someone that does bring a Korban Shlomim. So in addition to other Korbanos that a Nozir is obligated to bring, he brings a Shlomim as well. And hence, there a Nozir who would shecht his Shlomim prematurely outside the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah says that he would be over on Shechitas Chutz. Up to this point, we've seen Ze'iri and Rav Sheshes, whose names we've circled, each one of them adding to the Mishnah people that were not mentioned in the original Mishnah. Ze'iri added the Mitzora in order to explain the Mishnah's citation of an Osham, and Rav Sheshes added a Nozir in order to explain the Mishnah's citing of a Korban Shlomim. The Gemara points out, Ze'iri kavuha tanoi. Ze'iri's recommendation or answer has been established by tanoi. Those are people responsible for ensuring the text of the Mishnayos, the editors of the Mishnayos, if you will. However, the Rav Sheshes's suggestion of Nazir lo kavuha tanoi. The Tanoi did not establish Nazir as part of the text of the Mishnah. However, Rashi points out, this is not suggesting that Rav Sheshes' solution is inaccurate. It's a suitable solution. However, the actual stating of Nazir, black and white, in the Mishnah, that we don't do, and rather understand it as being part of the explanation of the Mishnah, but left out. And that in other Gemaras is referred to by the term Chisurei Mechasra, that the Mishnah was left deliberately brief. So the fact that Nazir is not included in the Mishnah doesn't mean it's not part of the explanation of the Mishnah, but it doesn't appear, it's not expected to appear as part of the text of the Mishnah. In contrast to Ze'iri's inclusion of Mitzora. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading. We feature a volcano. This emphasizes, or this brings out the Machloikis Rav Chilkiya Bar Tuvi Rav Huna, a controversy between Rav Chilkiya and Rav Huna be'inyan Shechitas Chutz Shel Osham Sheloi Bizmanoi Sheloi Lushmoi. Imagine someone sacrifices a Korban Osham prematurely, with a non-Osham intent. He had in mind another sacrifice. Let us say he had this Osham that whose time has not yet come, and it was shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash as if it were an Ola. According to Rav Chilkiya, that would be Chayev Mishum Shechitas Chutz. According to Rav Huna, that would be exempt. Turning to the Gemara, Omer Rav Chilkiya Bar Tuvi, focusing on the Korban Osham, Loi Shonu Ela Lishmoi. That which the Mishnah taught, that there's a ptur, there's an exemption of Shechitas Chutz regarding the Osham Shelo Bizmanoi, the premature Osham. Premature, as we saw a case where the Zav or Zova, or more accurately, the Mitzora, because the Mitzora was the example of the person that would have to bring an Osham, where the Mitzora was not yet ready to bring the Korban. He hadn't finished his Mitzora period. And yet it was brought outside the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah said that an Osham brought prematurely outside the Beis HaMikdash is exempt from the violation of Shechitas Chutz. So Rav Chilkiya qualifies that. He says, Lo Shanu Elo Lishmoi. That's only if it were offered outside as a Korban Osham. And why is that exempt? Because it's not fit to be brought right now, prematurely, in the Beis HaMikdash. And as the standard rule says, that which could not be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, if it's brought outside, is not in violation of Chutz. Avol Sheloi Lishmoi Chayov. If, however, he would offer this premature Osham outside, as if it were an Ola, he would be in violation of Shechitas Chutz. Hoyel V'roi L'Sheloi Lishmoi Bifnim. Because an Osham, if it were brought in the Beis HaMikdash and slaughtered Shelo Lishmoi, it would be an acceptable sacrifice. So since on the Lo Lishmo level, it would have been fit in the Beis HaMikdash, if it's done Shelo Lishmoi outside the Beis HaMikdash, there would be a Chiyuv Chutz. Rashi, a few lines up from the bottom, Avol Shelo Lishmoi, could go in L'Shem Oila, Ubashem ze hu roi lovo lifnim. If he were to offer it as the Osham as an Ola in the Beis HaMikdash, it's fit. The chol hazvachim shenizvu shel lishmon ksherim. All sacrifices done with an improper mindset, namely a non focused identity, ksherin, are actually acceptable sacrifices, chutz min ha-pesach v'chatas, with the exception of these two, pesach and chatas, that if they're done shelo lishma, they're totally invalid. The Gemara asks, ihachi, if this equation is true, that an osham shelo lishmo bachutz would be chayev, then lishmoi nami nechayev, even if it were shechted outside lishmo as an osham, there should be guilt. Because it has the potential of being brought shelo lishmo inside the base of English. And as we said already numerous times, that something that has the potential of being acceptable in the Beis HaMikdash, if it's done outside, it's chayav. And yet our Mishnah says that according to Reb Chilkiya, if the Oshem were done lishmo bachutz, that's the case of the Mishnah, that it's exempt. The Gemara answers, mechusar akira. If you did the korban Oshem lishmoi, it's lacking the uprooting of the Oshem name, and hence the Ola label. And since it's lacking this uprooting, it's viewed purely as an osham and having no association with a korban ola. And as a result, as an osham, it's not fit whatsoever to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash as an osham. Maskif lo Rav Huna. Rav Huna attacks Rav Chilkiya's approach, and as such, we understand that Rav Huna disagrees with that which Rav Chilkiya taught. The reason we're emphasizing this is because when we proceed to Daf Kuf Tesvav, the Gemara will be preoccupied with attempting to bring sources or supports to Rav Chilkiya, and at a certain point in the Gemara, we're even going to suggest that we have a kasha on Rav Huna. So it's important to present Rav Huna as a dissenting opinion to that of Rav Chilkiya. Maskif lo Rav Huna, v'chi yesh l'cho davar, could there be something, she'eino kosher lishmoi, that's unfit to be brought as it's designed in the Beis HaMikdash, v'kosher shelo lishmo, but would be acceptable with an incorrect, or with a shelo lishmo, with the non-official identification done inside the Beis HaMikdash. To make it more practical, Rav Huna is saying, could it possibly be that if it were brought, the Oshem were brought as an Oshem inside the Beis HaMikdash, it's considered unacceptable. But if it's brought inside, if the Oshem is brought inside the Beis HaMikdash as an Ola, it's considered acceptable. Could that be? The Gemara turns around to Rav Huna and says, well, I don't know what you're talking about, Volo. Is it not possible? In fact, V'harei Pesach b'shayim Mos Hashanah, a korban Pesach on any day other than the 14th of Nisan, the eino kosher lishmo. If one were to take an animal dedicated as a korban Pesach and shecht it as a korban Pesach, let us say in the middle of Shvat, it's not acceptable. V'kosher shelo lishmo. But the Korban Pesach in the middle of Shvat, slaughtered as something other than a Korban Pesach, let us say shechted as a shlomim, it's acceptable. So we have precedent for this idea of something that's not kosher lishmo, but would have been kosher shelo lishmo. So what is bothering Rav Huna? The Gemara explains that to question Rav Huna's position from the case of Pesach is out of bounds. Pesach b'shar yemois hashonah shlomim ninhu. Pesach during the other days of the year other than Yudalid Nisan is defined as a shlomim. So shechting a korban Pesach b'shar yemois hashonah as a shlomim is not a function of sheloi lishmoi. But, says Rav Huna, if you could show me an example of something that's done sheloi lishmoi and would be acceptable as shelo lishmo, I can't imagine a case where if it were done lishmo, it would be unacceptable, and done shelo lishmo, it would be acceptable in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's Rav Huna's attack on Rav Chilkiya, who had said that an osham is chayav b'chutz if it's done shelo lishmo, because shelo lishmo it would have been fit to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. But if done lishmo outside, it's exempt, because lishmo in the Beis HaMikdash is unacceptable prematurely. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.